Fred. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bop, bop, bop.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bop, bop, bop.
Well, Dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
The one-man thrill ride has arrived to some pony league dump here in Loserville. Smashing baseballs and picking up chicks have many parallels. So if you can master these simple strategies of hitting, you're going to be taking home any flus you choose. Here's the deal. If you're up 2-0 and you pop up weakly the other way, you're not getting laid, bro. In fact, you just block the entire roster. When you're up 2-0, you grip, you rip like an absolute savage. Your at bat really begins on the on-deck circle. You want to take a look at the pitcher, you want to find his window. Is he 11 o'clock? Is he 10 o'clock? But also make sure you take a look behind you and figure out where his girlfriend's sitting. Because at 11 o'clock, she's going to be receiving an injection of genetic perfection. It's game day. See it big, see it early, and cut it in half. Pow! That was easy!
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program, and that is, what's the guy's name again?
Thrill Ride.
Thrill Ride. He was going to be in studio this morning at 8. Chase Stew, Sarge, and Pasta have all come up with wrestling characters, and they will audition in front of... what's
Mr. Name? Thrill Ride.
Mr. Thrill Ride.
It's something we're calling wrestling camp.
All right. Well, so everyone knows the love that Sarge and Jay Stu have of wrestling, and everyone knows that Pasta Joe lives the no-carbo lifestyle. That,
of course.
And he's always hitting the gym.
Pasta. We know that.
So that is coming up at 8 o'clock today, which should be fun. I'm interested in this phone call. 617-779-0985. John, hello.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I was out at a bar on a first date yesterday, and the TV that was behind the girl that I was talking with had Nesson on behind it, and I know the game started at like 3, so the game gets out, and what does Nesson go to but Charlie Moore Outdoors with Jermaine Wiggins?
Oh,
and,
oh,
and it was so distracting to the point where the girl kept turning around and looking at the TV. Because I just kept getting so distracted because I was like, I wonder what on earth they're talking about. What kinds of food that they're talking about. I mean, it seemed like it was like a D-list version of John Gruden and Guy Fieri.
All right.
I
need to find that.
That.
Yeah. That needs to be found.
I mean,
but for me, I like chocolate and thick.
Okay, what makes a good chicken palm sandwich? What's first it? Things first. You got to find a place that makes a good chicken palm sandwich.
Okay, yeah, right. We have to find that immediately.
10-1, he was telling Charlie Moore about what an awesome fisherman he was. Oh. He was the best fisherman in the history of East Boston.
How many times does he mention East Boston in that one episode?
Okay, so there's an introduction and an outro. It's a 22-minute show in all. So let's say he's on screen for 15 minutes. I will say that he said it 10 times.
Yeah, I'd say the 10 to a dozen. This is how we do it in East Boston. You know, we'd have like lakes like this, like in East Boston, man. I mean, over to Eastie.
No, he would take to the sea. He would see that. He would take to the sea. He was a salty sailor.
We don't call them rolls. We call them spuckies around here.
Yeah, okay, right.
You got to figure Charlie Moore has to speak some of the time, so I'm going a little under on that.
Oh,
7 or 8.
He was such a prick the time I met him. Oh, my God.
Okay.
And then I met him at Ernie Bach's party.
Right.
But we were there super early because we had an infant, which went over well with everyone. And it was strapped to my wife. And I went up to him, and he had this, like, Rolex with, like, diamonds on it. Jesus. And I went up to him, and I'm like, hey, because there's like no one else there. And I'm like, hey, I'm Fred Touch. We've had you on the air before. And he's like,
So come here. Yeah.
All right.
I'm Charlie Moore.
I'm the Mad Fisherman. Remember he told us he had like a movie that was being made about his life?
Sure.
Oh.
Fascinating. You get paid in a boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a time where he was, I think in like Sports Illustrated, they were talking about the like Charlie Moore empire. And that doesn't seem to have kept on like you would think it was. Is that paid programming?
No, I think that that's actually like a Ness and Purdue show. I think that's a show almost like the one where, hey, we like food. Sports is involved.
Because it used to be called, he used to be on ESPN for a while, Charlie Moore. Like ESPN 2 or 3 or whatever the hell
really?
It was.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. He used to have a show on ESPN.
Oh. No, I think it's another show like Sox Appeal.
Sox Appeal is where the dude from Madding the Morning goes out and... Oh, no.
No, that's where he
eats
food.
That's the dining show. That's the dining show.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where they go and they get baseball players to make food and things of that nature.
Yeah, and then they like, you know, look, I can't believe it. I don't know how to flip a burger. This is nuts. Who's ever flipped a burger before in a restaurant?
Look at this appetizer. You can sit at the bar.
No, Sox Appeal was the show where they hooked people up in the right field.
You had like a blind date, and it was on the Green Monster, and then they would film the whole thing.
And then Wally would show up and point to the guy that the girl picked, you know, that kind of thing.
There's one where Robbie Roadsteamer was the date on there, and that was actually a funny episode.
Yeah, they didn't really vet who they were going to have on that day, and they had on Ronnie Roadsteamer. So I'm going out today to Mr. Sid. I don't know what I said on the air to get this going, but it's a social media thing where I guess they give you a haircut and shave, and then they give you clothes, and they informed me to not really groom, which I said, no problem. That's no problem. But this is becoming a bit of a pattern in my life.
They said, don't groom?
Essentially, you know, don't shave.
So they're giving you free Mr. Sid clothes?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, then if you go there to buy a belt, it's like $1 million.
We'll see. We'll see how much it is.
Now, did Scott Zolak tell you they were going to give you free clothes, or did Mr. Sid people tell you they're going to give you free clothes?
Mr. Sid.
Oh, okay. Now, okay.
No, it was done through the station. I can't remember what I said.
Okay.
I don't even know if I said anything. I don't think I said anything. I don't know why I was approached to do this.
Maybe it was just part of the whole makeover. You got the cool sculpting done, and now you get the clothes to go with it.
The lasering of the back.
Right.
So, yeah, like I said, anything that I don't have to move.
Scott one time was like, hey, go to Mr. Sid. You know, I know you do. I was looking for a place to get like a, you know, fairly inexpensive suit. I wear a suit maybe 3 times a year. Someone dies, you know,
stop. For
like
a fairly inexpensive suit. So.
Yeah, because I'm not kidding you. Like our line of work, I hardly ever wear a suit.
Right.
Like when I go out for like a nice dinner, I don't wear a suit.
No.
So I was looking for that, and Scott said, hey, go to Mr. Sid. You know, I know the guys with the hook. I walk in, and I saw that they had, like, a pair of socks, and it was, like, $200. I'm like, what are we doing? I can't do this. Like, everything there was so expensive. Now, I know it's, like, top-of-the-line stuff, but that's just not my market. Like, I mean, honestly, I can't wear stuff like that.
Well, perhaps I'll go in, and then they'll go, we'll give you half off.
And then you would still have to mortgage your house.
I was just going
to
say.
Well, don't badmouth the people.
I'm not badmouthing. Listen, they know what they are. They're the high end of the high end. It's like saying, don't badmouth Gucci. Don't badmouth Mercedes. I mean, these are expensive things at the top of the line.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, some of us are players, and some of us are 9-to-5 or nickel and dimers.
I am not a player.
I'm always wearing suits. Jason, go ahead.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Jason?
Sticking eggs, guys.
Hey, sticking eggs.
Fred, so yesterday I tried to call in, but it was right at the end of your shift there. You were a little upset about that video of the high school players.
And I'll tell you why I was upset. Okay, so here's the deal is that there was a high school semifinal game. I believe it was a semifinal game. And a guy struck out looking. And then the pitcher's team started celebrating. And then the pitcher walked up to the guy that was who just struck out. And started hugging him.
He's his best friend.
They were good friends. And to that, I felt terrible for the guy who was being hugged because I thought...
Of course, I'm on your side 100%. As a matter of fact, if you really want to get in deep, that pitcher was bullying the kid.
Was showing him up.
He made a complete spectacle of a strikeout. And did you see a follow-up video of the two? The two of them sat down... It was out yesterday. The two of them sat down and was interviewed about how important that was for the kid to hug his buddy and this, that, and the other.
So the kid didn't have a problem with it.
I think it's a nation that is being created of vagitis.
Hey, hang on. So you said in the video the kid who got hugged said he liked it.
He did.
Oh, then why do you have a problem with it? If he has no problem with it, why do you have a problem?
Because it was showing him up.
He doesn't think that.
It's not right. Whatever happened to competition these days? And you know what? If the kid wanted to console his buddy, he could have did it in the parking lot when they were getting ready to get into the cars.
Do you hate the handshake at the end of hockey games?
No, I saw that someone had mentioned that.
I don't hate any of that stuff. I think that's great. But I think he made a spectacle of that strikeout, and he made it even more embarrassing for his buddy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And the handshake at the end of hockey games is there's a celebration, and then both teams line up and touch hands. There's not an immediate rush to the player and embrace.
Okay, so if the pitcher had celebrated with his team and then walked over to the other dugout and hugged his buddy,
that would have been fine with you.
It's the sequence. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Even though the kid who got hugged liked it.
That's not the issue.
Well, it is the issue. Because you said I feel bad for that kid. Don't feel bad for him. He liked it.
Well, I feel bad for him because maybe when he gets a little bit older, he's going to realize that that was a power move. But no, you're right, John. That's an excellent point. If they had celebrated, and then, you know, a couple minutes go by, and then he goes and finds his friend and gives him a hug, then...
It doesn't matter where it is, even if it's out on the field.
Well, I hope the kid's not standing there in the box.
No, but I mean, he's sitting in the dugout, and he meets his buddies and walks over.
I would not have a problem with that.
Okay.
No.
So the problem was the immediacy.
He ran up to him and hugged
him. Just clarification. I understand. No.
No, no, no. No, in fact, if he sat on the bench with the guy and consoled him, I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's the immediacy of it.
Okay.
I thought he was showing the kid up. And if the kid doesn't have a problem with it, if you're looking at that and you're trying to project into the future, I can only put myself in the place of the kid. Or if it happened to my son when he was 17, 18, and then it goes viral, I would be mortified. Because it's not enough that you stroke me out. Now you got to like go console me. No, of course, if they're friends and he wants to go to the visiting bench or the home bench, whatever the hell, and go sit in the dugout and put his arm around his friend, that's fine. No, he's showing him up, though. He's running out there seconds after it happened while his team celebrates in the infield.
Thrower, I would have crushed that thing. If you watch those videos that
depends
watched last
depends on what
night.
The count was. Oh, yeah. It had to be 2-0. 2-0. If it was 2-0, he would have crushed it.
You're going to grip it and rip it like an absolute savage. Yep.
You're going to get a pitch to hit at that point. All right, Rich, what happened last night? What do we have coming up?
More Red Sox fun. On top of that, we've got some more information about LeBron James. Every day there's brand new info about where is he going.
Yep. Here's CBS Sports. And do we have the Stephen A. Smith butts thing?
Oh, you don't even know, Fred.
Okay, good.
You don't even know because that little thing that you saw and everybody saw led me to do some discovery, and there is a treasure trove.
Really?
I this has been sitting there waiting for us, and I never knew it existed.
Wow. Well, we must find Charlie Moore with Wiggy with the quickness.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Chris Sale tosses a good one before getting tossed.
3-2. And that is going to miss, according to home plate umpire Knight. So ball four, that'll put him on at first and second. And Cora is coming out. Not real happy at the moment.
I don't think he was really happy with the last call.
He's been at odds with Knight.
Yes, and you see Cora Oscar Leon. Where was that pitch?
Chris Sale coming out with a 5-0 lead, and he is barking at the umpire.
He got thrown out. He's already out of the game.
He was hollering at Knight, and frankly, he's got a pretty good beef, I think.
I believe he does, too.
That is Nesson, and after walking the first two batters of the seventh, Alex Cora finally yanks Chris Sale, and on his way back to the dugout, Sale gave an earful to the home plate umpire along the way. Now, Sale had reportedly been steaming about the ump strike zone, and after running his mouth, he was tossed from the game, even though he was already leaving the game.
It was great. Yeah, he was yelling at him off the field, and then all of his teammates gave him high fives, you know, pitchers who leave the game generally get high fives, but these high fives were a little different. Like, yeah, you told him. And then before he went down the runway, stopped and screamed at him some more before he disappeared.
Oh,
it was great.
You know what? I've been waiting for a while to see any hint of that guy who cut up all those uniforms back when he was with the White Sox.
Oh, he's still there.
And we've gotten, like, none of that. Yeah. I mean, we might have gotten, like, one-tenth of that yesterday, but at least there was a little hint of that bit of crazy that I like about Chris Sale. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. There was a decent amount of sanctimonious judgment on Chris Sale.
That was unbelievable.
From the baseball writers yesterday.
Jesus.
What were they saying? It was like
not
a
good look,
Chris.
Yeah, not a good look doing that off the field. You know, it was more along the lines of, you know, you should be a role model for young baseball players out there. And I couldn't believe I was reading this.
We should be.
Yeah.
Can't be fooling around.
Jesus. Can't be complaining about the strike zone. Well, Sale snapped a 3-start losing streak. He goes 6-plus innings, gives up 1 run, striking out 9 in the Sox 5-1 win over the Orioles. And things are starting to get back to normal at the plate as well.
Pitcher is 24. That one tagged. Right center field deep. Gentry on the run. Turning around. It's sailing. It is out of here. Mookie Betts with number 18. And his first since his return to the lineup, he has put the Red Sox in the lead 1-0.
No salamis?
Salami boo!
I'll give you another chance later on in the game. Here we go.
There's a shot to right field. That's deep.
Razzle dazzle. Spin swing trajectory. Look at it go. Goodbye. We got a souvenir for a fan. Look at that.
There you go. Both Mookie Betts and JD Martinez with salamis. And all is as it should be once again. Here is Alex Cora on Chris Sale's day yesterday.
Tried to stretch him out in the seventh. There were a few at-bats there. Gentry, I think his second at-bat, fouled off a few pitches. He had to work for it. A few pitches that we thought there were strikes. He were called balls, whatever, extended the count. But, you know, he gave us enough.
Well, and after being yanked from the game, Chris Sale knows that sometimes his emotions can run somewhat high during the season.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, you know. I mean, there's going to be, you know, points in the season, points in a game where stuff happens. No one's perfect. You know, obviously, lost my cool a little bit. You know, it's going to happen, too. So, you know, I like competing, and I feel like I'm getting something taken away from me. I get pretty emotional.
It's way more
the anti-Fonzie.
He's like, not cool.
He's like when the rare occasions where Fonzie loses cool, and then he's got to put his palms down and go,
right,
chill.
Like he's gonna, you know, he's in his office, and the next thing you know, whoop, whoop, he gets a little upset. Maybe the pinball machine ain't cooperating. It said tilt. So Chris Sale maybe take a page from the Fonz.
Well, the Sox fly out to Seattle to take on the Mariners tonight. First pitch is at the ungodly hour of 10:10 p.m., in which John Wallach will watch every single minute.
Yeah.
No matter how many innings it is. What's the latest like you usually
do? I get up early enough. I could just go straight through.
Oh, yeah? Do you just wake up early and watch the Sox in 2?
Yeah, of course. It makes it much easier.
You do it that way.
Wake up at 3 in the morning and, you know, catch all of it. It's fantastic.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't come in here having not seen every
pitch.
That's
right. Well, speaking of baseball, yesterday the news came out that a unnamed National League executive told a website that Bryce Harper was overrated and selfish and a losing player. Well, Mike Rizzo came out yesterday going nuts and trying to defend his own guy, Bryce Harper, saying, quote, I think it's just totally unfair on so many levels. It was FanRag Sports, I believe, was the one he spoke to. He goes, first of all,
Heyman's.
That's right.
That's
Heyman's deal.
Okay.
Yep.
What a wonderfully named website. They could have had almost anything.
Makes you take it very seriously, doesn't it?
FanRag.
FanRag. Yes. Well, first of all, the premise is entirely wrong. Bryce Harper is a winner. He's been a winner his whole life. He's been Rookie of the Year, 5-time All-Star, and MVP. He's won more games since he's been called up to the big leagues than any player in the major leagues. Is that true?
I don't know.
So how is that a loser? This guy has done nothing but been a tremendous advocate for the Washington Nationals between the lines and the dugout and the clubhouse, the community. His charitable endeavors, he starts mentioning kids and now he's helped out for children. He goes, so he's far from a loser as you can possibly get. He's a champion. He's a winner. He's not really a champion.
No.
Well, I mean, you can't say that. You can throw a lot of superlatives his way. Champion, I don't think is
really
one of them.
Well, I will tell you that the manager coming out and saying this isn't helping the cause of Bryce Harper. I mean, the manager obviously felt that he had to come out and start saying these things or Bryce Harper was going to become petulant.
Because you're saying he's fragile and that the stuff would probably get to him, so he needed to be boosted up.
For whatever reason, there's no positive of him coming out and saying all this stuff. I mean, it just...
What do you think? I mean,
no, he felt
the
like
GM
he had
has to
do
come out and say things like that.
No, the GM felt like he had to do it. No, the GM doesn't have to comment on the article. It's an unnamed source. It was one thing. The GM has no responsibility to come out and get ahead of that article. But was he
asked about it and he was responding, or did he hold a press conference specifically to defend his player?
It doesn't say, but I guarantee you he was asked about it. I mean, he has to.
I'm thinking that's what happened. He asked about it and then got on. He was asked about it and got on a roll.
Yeah, but I mean, he really went on a roll, and really, he's not done yet. He said these anonymous quotes from his unnamed sources, like a national executive, it's cowardly, it's chicken blank, it's gutless.
Yeah, I mean, he's overcompensating. And
that didn't need to happen.
It
that's
could
true.
Mean nothing, but all I'll say is that it doesn't do anything to disprove the point that he's a selfish player.
Maybe the unnamed National League source is actually him, and he's trying to drive down the price when you have to re-sign the guy.
That's one way of looking at it.
Nice. He threw that out there. And he's talking about it emphatically in order to keep that story out there so people continue to do their own research. Maybe this guy is as good as we thought he was. So there you go. Bryce Harper getting the his buddy sticking up for him, and now he's, of course, everyone realizes he's the best. So congratulations to Bryce Harper. Are you scared at all? Are you happy with Mookie Betts being back and how he's been playing? Okay.
Of course. Yeah. Wow, how could you not be?
Second game back, he hits a salami.
Mm-hmm. Now, tonight is interesting because Seattle is really, really, really good. And they're doing it. Robinson Cano got popped for PEDs. He's sitting on an 80-game suspension. Seattle has actually gotten better since the suspension started.
Clubhouse poison.
Yep. They got a couple of guys in the top five of the majors in stolen bases. They got a guy right behind J.D. Martinez in RBIs. The pitching has been very, very good. They're a shockingly good team this year. And the Sox play them, I think, 7 out of their next 10. 4 there and 3 here. So we'll see how good the Sox are.
Well, the very weird offseason of Tom Brady continues. We will give you some information on where you're going to see him on television very soon. On top of that, a very well-known Patriots hater speaks out again. And surprise, he says bad things about the Patriots.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's all conversation until Razzle Dazzle Man gets in at 8 o'clock and
thrill
starts.
Ride.
Thrill Ride.
Razzle Dazzle Man.
Either or.
Now, does Thrill Ride wrestle?
He does. So I was reading up about him, because, to be quite honest, as I said, I just learned about him a couple weeks ago. But apparently a lot of people know of him. He did some stuff he does like the, not WWE, but the step below. But he also did some of the rough and rowdy wrestling.
Okay.
That I guess has been on
no backyard
lately.
Nonsense, none of that.
I don't know. You can ask him about that.
Stu can probably just call in and go break down his career. High school wrestler. Had some scholarship offers, turned him down.
Was very good at Whitman Hanson in the 175-pound division.
He's great at the promos. He can sell himself. All right, so he's going to be in at 8 o'clock along with the wrestling gang. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, the very strange offseason of Tom Brady continues. Strange as in we haven't really seen anything like this before. First, you had him missing OTAs, which is obviously a little strange. In its place, he was throwing passes to people on yachts over in Monaco. And now you've got him doing different TV projects, including this promo that I stumbled across yesterday.
Taking a knee divided the country. What was happening in your own locker room?
Oprah and Tom Brady. Fatherhood, Giselle, and his career.
Have you thought about what happens after football?
Super Soul Sunday, 11 a.m., 10 Central.
Okay.
What?
When Super think, Soul Sunday.
It's George Clinton from Parliament Funkadelic, and then it's Tom Brady.
He's the same. It's not even...
He's like the Bryson.
The band leader for Oprah. It's George Clinton, ladies and gentlemen.
You just have, like, Barry White.
Yeah.
Super Soul Sunday. I mean, not Super Bowl Sunday. See, Super Soul Sunday.
Well, you can't say Super Bowl, so yeah. Super Soul, that's right.
So if you can find the OWN Network on your cable provider... Tom Brady will be sitting down in a nice wicker chair in the middle of the woods at 11 a.m. this Sunday with Oprah Winfrey.
He was playing golf at the U.S. Open.
Yes, Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the days that the OTAs were supposed to be going. But
No, it was yesterday, I thought.
Oh, so it was a canceled OTA day.
Well, no. Yesterday was supposed to be an off day. Originally, it was supposed to be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
So today, technically, would have been an off day. He could have jetted to the U.S. Open, played the practice round, and been back today.
Yeah, so there you go. If you the promo, too, it's got like...
he was going to attend, which he wasn't anyway.
Very fuzzy white lights where they faded it out, and it's got him smiling like a dreamboat. It's got Giselle like waving at the camera, and the kids running around, and them sitting in the woods in wicker chairs, him and Oprah. So breaking it down, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of in-depth information. This is a very strange Tom Brady. I'm not quite used to this.
He's letting the hair go a little bit, too. He's not he's not looking slick. Giselle is yet to kind of doll him up anymore.
He's still hung. Hey,
what happened to
You're putting words in my mouth. I never said he wasn't hung. Mm-hmm.
What happened to the vampire cape thing he used to wear, or the high society clothing?
That's
what happened to that?
So 2012.
I'm sorry.
Come on, he just wore it to the Met Gala.
That's right. No, that was like the...
Oh, that's good. He had the lapel thing at the Met Gala.
That was the magician. That was, he was the wizard.
That's right.
Yeah, so get ready. Set your DVRs for the OWN Network, wherever that is.
Now, do you think if you do Oprah, she comes to you, or you have to go to her? Like, is that wood scenario something that she picks out?
Like, is that his place over in Brookline? I don't know. I can't
I'm
tell.
Gonna guess maybe it's her place that's next to Lacuadera in Maui.
Does she have a place right next to Lacuadera?
Lacuadera has the property right next to Oprah Winfrey in Maui.
Holy moly. Well, I don't know. I guess we'll learn a little bit more. But goodness knows they use some of the fuzzy white lighting to make themselves look really nice and warm and cozy. So we'll watch that, I'm sure, on Sunday morning. And all of us together will learn nothing. But somebody who hates the Patriots is Chris Sims. Always seems to find a way to find some way to take a shot at them. We've learned this before. Remember, he didn't even rank Tom Brady in the top five quarterbacks of all time.
Look at me. I'm saying controversial things. Look at me.
Well, okay. It's worth it. I mean, it's
working for him. Yep. Yeah.
Do me a favor. Where does that come from? The complete and total hatred of
I think
Tom
because
Brady.
You say it one time and then you get a pop and then it's
that's exactly
his
what
career.
This is. Ride that horse as long as you can.
Okay. Well, he had a theory yesterday. Not a theory. He said that, when Julian Edelman was popped for PEDs, he knew.
Julian Edelman is one of the guys that is just through years of conversation here and there where guys, having to come, hey, what, do you think he's on something? Like, those kind of things. That happens a lot.
Damn.
Right?
Damn.
Right? Well, like I said, it's a special build. It's a special wiring because people have always marveled about Julian a little bit because players like Julian, black or white, slot receivers, when you're asked to be that guy that he was in that offense, so dependable, so many catches every game, so many routes, run blocking.
It's a lot of contact.
They usually wear out.
Because you're right in the middle of everything.
He was one of the few I can always say, but damn, he looks like he's faster January 9th than he was September 9th. And that was always a little bit, I think, red flags for a lot of people in football.
You're telling me that people have been thinking this way about Julian for a long time?
Julian Edelman's been, there's a lot of people that, yes, they've been suspect of Julian Edelman.
How about everyone thinks every player in the NFL is on PEDs?
Yeah.
How about there's no illusion that people in the NFL are using things to enhance their performance.
Chris Sims once again, you're playing his stuff. Seriously. Congratulations, you
what
win.
What he's saying isn't ridiculous. I mean, what he's saying is
he's standing out as being one of the few people NFL.
He said slot receivers, and he said that slot receivers take, look at Tom Waddle. Slot receivers take a lot more punishment than other positions. They're forced into situations where they leave themselves vulnerable to hits.
However, he said Julian Edelman is one player that you are always saying, is he better on January 9th than
right.
he is?
So, I mean, that's how he's viewed it. I don't think that's ridiculous.
No, I think everybody's using PEDs.
No, I know, but I don't think it's ridiculous to think that Edelman coming off an injury and at his age and with the amount of trauma that he's taken, maybe got a little loose with the PEDs. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got popped, and most players don't. So I don't think what Chris Sims said was
He's always believed that he was a guy who was on PEDs.
Okay. So he's always believed that he was on PEDs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why that's something that would bother anyone that he said that.
Makes me angry.
Well, it got you thinking about
makes
it.
You angry?
I'm thinking about like boycotting the Chris Sims show. Yeah, thinking about like not listening.
See, that's
anymore.
The reverse of what he's looking for. Not looking
not,
for that.
I'm not going to listen to the reaction. Show that I never listen to anymore.
What is he on?
The OWN network.
That's right. He's hanging out with
taking a knee divided the country. What was happening in your own locker room?
He'll give
Oprah
such a great
Tom
answer
Brady,
to that.
Fatherhood, Giselle, and his career.
Have you thought about what happens after football?
Super Soul Sunday, 11 a.m., 10 Central. I
mean, he's going to be so forthcoming. That give the answers that nobody else can get.
Music sounds like the Trump North Korea video. That kind of inspirational, the Scientology music.
By the way, I love in that commercial, not one word from Tom Brady. So obviously there's...
That's right, there's nothing.
You can tell you're getting a lot from Tom.
That's right.
It just shows him just smiling like a hunk. So, Tom Brady, that is... Well, can't every Sunday be Super Soul Sunday, really?
Well, should it is. Be? It depends on how you live your life, doesn't it?
Well,
every Sunday can be Super Soul Sunday if you want it to be.
You got to find it in your heart every day. The Super Soul Sunday should live in your heart every Sunday. And I'm with you, Tom. I want to sit in a wicker chair in the woods with Oprah. What the hell's happened to this guy? What's going on with this team? This is very weird.
He's trying to get some press so he can go out there and spread the gospel, the TB12 gospel. That's exactly what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You get a chance to have audience with Oprah Winfrey, that's what you're going to do. So, wicker chair in the woods or not. All right, Rich, what else do we got?
We'll finally get to some more LeBron info that we are learning as of yesterday. There is a certain player, a big-time player, who's come out on the record and said, I want to play with LeBron James.
Which is everybody, apparently. We will have that for you. Doing a sit-down with Oprah Winfrey in the woods. It's going to be on Sunday morning. It seems a little odd that it's...
Super Soul Sunday, Fred. Come on.
That it's such a crappy time. Dan, go ahead.
Fred, Rich, awesome show. You guys beat me right to the punch, and then I'm watching this show, and like 2 seconds later, you talked about the Scientology. I'm just waiting to see Tom Brady jumping up and down on a wicker chair at his house or whomever's house in Brookline or wherever they're filming. It's going to be a riot and stuff like that. That's all. No big sports or anything like that.
But well, yeah, he's proselytizing. He knows the end is near in his career, and it's completely infatuated, which is almost something that's almost like Scientology. It would seem it encapsulates your lifestyle, your diet, PMA, and all these things. And so he has to go out there and he has to get the message out. That's entirely why he's doing
it. It expands his base. I mean, theoretically, you get a whole new viewer. You get all these female viewers, and they all hop on board.
Everyone knows what happens when you do Oprah. She's huge.
But, however, this is not doing Oprah. This is doing a show on the OWN network. Like, how many people watch the OWN network?
I don't know. You'd be surprised, probably.
I probably would be, yeah.
Ron, go ahead.
You guys got that completely wrong. You think Brady's expanding his audience by doing this Oprah stuff. If anything, he's destroying his market. Everybody outside of New England already hates his guts. And now I'm doing all this, skipping OTAs, doing the whole horse and pony show that he's doing. Now we all starting to hate him. I mean, I used to be a diehard Brady fan. Now I'm hoping that he retires or they trade him or something like that.
Well, okay, you can't hate him for doing an Oprah video.
No, what you just said, though, is the opposite of how you started the argument. The argument was that he was hated outside of Boston, and you're saying what he's doing now is making you dislike him as a Patriots fan. But this is precisely why he's doing these kinds of interviews and doing these things, is to build his brand outside of New England, to change people's minds about him.
Sure. I mean, listen, it's a funny, weird thing that he's doing, but I don't think, you know, it's enough to get outraged so much that you no longer are a fan of his in the football aspect.
No, but it's going to be a creepy interview. There's no question about it.
It's going to be weird as hell. And it's going to be funny and awkward, and he's going to try to act like a human being.
And that's the best.
Strange.
It's like when Tom Cruise tries to act like a human being.
Although Tom versus Time did a good job. Like, Tom versus Time was, for the most part, a great product.
It wasn't a sit-down interview.
I thought that he humanized him more than anything else I've seen him do.
Comparatively to how he normally acts.
Sure.
But I mean,
but it worked. It put him in that direction.
He had Guerrero consistently touching him.
I mean, it was weird.
The massage scenes were strange.
But the massage scenes were 50% of it.
No. What's 50% of it?
Guerrero was touching him, fine, 30% of it. I mean, Guerrero was touching him constantly. There was constantly rubbing of legs and like, you know, we just got that puppy. You know when you rub a puppy in the right place?
They do the fiddle, right?
Yeah, they start banging their leg around. Right. I mean, that's exactly what's happened to Tom.
It did kind of sound like
that. You got Tom in his sweet place.
That's right.
He got that leg a spasming.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is, that's going to be a very, anytime Tom, because you're right. The one thing about Tom versus Time is you had an expert documentarian behind the camera because he somehow made him look like a normal human being. On top of that, there was editing that could be done. There was a lot of structure. Like, they could structure things to make him look a lot better than he normally does. When you're sitting down to do an interview, like a one-on-one interview, it's completely different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no hiding. There's no...
Right.
You don't have 12 hours of footage to cut down into, you know, 15 minutes.
All right. So when it comes to the whole LeBron James things, which once again, for the next 2.5-3 weeks, this is all we're going to be hearing. Where is he going? What kind of lead do people have? What kind of info do you insider sources? Well, the new thing is that Charles Barkley says that he has on good authority that he is not going to be going to the 76ers. I don't know how close Charles Barkley still is with the 76ers, but either way, he threw that out there because everyone else is throwing things out there.
Well,
but
Earl Boykin says that he's going to Denver.
That's right. I'm sure.
Earl Boykin.
I actually have sound of this.
Yeah, Earl Boykin was on some podcast and said that he was that he knew that there was a 40% chance that he said he never would play for the Knicks. And there's a 40% chance that he would go to Denver.
It's the Hastings and Broman show in Denver. Would you like to hear the two cuts from Earl Boykins?
I want to hear one of them.
Okay. You want the Denver meeting with the Nuggets?
Yeah, meeting with the Nuggets.
Let's hear this.
Well, we had Kurt Heelan on, who writes for NBC Sports, mm-hmm. a big guy on the inside, one of those inside guys that gets great information, who said LeBron's people, if he's truly going to shop, would at least be stupid not to look at Denver.
Oh, he's going to look at Denver.
Is he going to take a meeting? Is he not only going to look? Is he going to say, you know what? I want to talk to Tim Conley, and
he's
going to
talk to
Josh.
Tim, and he's going to say, if I sign here, what moves are you going to make?
So
what's going to be left if I decide to sign here? The Nuggets have the young pieces that LeBron won around them. They do.
Get Gary Harris, and then he went on to say this about New York.
Yes.
All right. So he went on to say about LeBron James' hatred for all things New York.
USA Today came out with 10 potential spots, and there were the obvious.
Trust me. He will never, ever go to the New York Knicks.
Because they blow?
I have inside information.
Really?
He will never, ever play for the New York Knicks.
Yes, he hates New York City.
It's not even one of the teams that anyone's saying he's going to go to.
Well, there was talk
yesterday.
You know
where else he would go? Sacramento.
No, there was talk yesterday. Someone came out yesterday and said that the Knicks were a team that was interested in him. So, it's true. He was responding to the Knicks thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, this is, here's one rumor that I heard yesterday that I thought was actually a decent one. One that I had not heard yet that is kind of interesting is that Houston is going to make a major push to get a trade for Anthony Davis. Like that I heard. And that, of all the things that have been flown out there, makes you go, okay.
What do they have?
Now we're talking. I mean, I'd have to take a look.
You'd start with Clint Capella, who is a very good center for them. And you'd have to figure they'd have to give up. Man, they can't trade James Harden to get Anthony Davis.
No,
that's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
No, and I wouldn't make that trade if I'm New Orleans.
Well, put it this way. If you're Houston, you have to do something. Like, after you got this close, they're going to try to make some sort of drastic move.
But hold on. But you see, if you're Houston, you are within one game of beating Golden State, and Chris Paul was hurt.
There's no way they're going to keep the status quo. There's no way they're going
to
stay.
Well, there's ways to do it without getting Anthony Davis.
Well, here is Paul George yesterday. He was stopped at the airport by a person from TMZ, and they asked him about playing with LeBron.
Would you like to be on the same team as LeBron?
Yeah, I'm with LeBron every All-Star.
Yeah, but like, you know,
every one of my All-Stars, I've been teamed with LeBron.
And you guys seem to work well together, right? You guys play well together.
Yeah. I mean, we got a losing record, but I like playing with him.
You love playing with him?
Yeah, it was fun playing with LeBron All-Star Weekend.
So have you made up your mind of where you want to play next year?
In the NBA.
In the NBA. Yes, by the way, the Vegas still has the Lakers as number one by a long shot. So everyone seems to believe that's where he's going. I just don't know what kind of super team he could put together unless there's some sort of weird move that we are not considering, like magically getting Anthony Davis to the Lakers or something crazy like that. Unless there's something like that, he's not going to win another ring. If you go out west...
Again, what would the Lakers possibly have?
Well, Fred, once again,
they would want.
I don't know. But everyone thinks he's going to the Lakers. Everyone believes he's trying to build a super team. But with the available pieces, or pieces that most likely are floating out there, I don't see you putting together a team that can beat Golden State.
What, in L.A.? Of course not.
Yeah, so I don't...
No, if he goes to L.A., he won't win again. Or if he goes to L.A. and signs that one-in-one deal, he'll go try it for a year, and then everyone else who signed multi-year contracts, like Kevin Love did in Cleveland, to go play with him, will be stuck in L.A. Now, if you're Paul George, that's fine. George has always wanted to play for the Lakers. He did so even before this LeBron thing started.